Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here. Happy April. Definitely doesn't feel like it outside, does it, with all the snow that we've had over the last couple of weeks. Now I come to you, this is my first Sports Q performance at the age of 29. The young age of 29. I want to go ahead and try and keep myself young because I'm pretty young compared to the rest of the residents in the North Woods, I guess you could say. Well, coming up on today's show, we're going to have Bucks analyst Justin Garcia stop by. He's going to talk Milwaukee's postseason push as we start to wind down the regular season. Plus, NFL mock draft season is here. I'll be addressing each of the Packers' key needs after free agency as we look ahead to the NFL draft, which is just in 3 weeks. Hard to believe. We'll also give you a bracket challenge update for WJJQ, including Greg trying to bribe himself into a free meal from me. But first, we're going to hit the diamond and head to AmFam Field and talk Brewers, shall we?
Here it comes. And that one's deep. Right center. Christian Yelich has tied it up.
So the Brewers started off scorching hot, wouldn't you say? Well, winning four of your first five games, I know that they lost early. Excuse me. Man, I'm so excited, I'm having a hard time catching my breath. You know, going into this season, we knew that there was going to be a bit of a step back from this Brewers team. And they've let their youth show, but they've also let the excitement of this particular team show, which is intriguing. They go 4-1 in their first five games, including a sweep of the Mets, who, by the way, look like that they're the absolute doormat of the National League at this point. Winning 3-1, 7-6, and 4-1, and then splitting with the Twins, including winning yesterday 3-2, and then losing earlier today 7-3. Here's what I'm going to say about this team. I don't know how many games this team is going to win. I honestly don't know. I thought that maybe they could go 500, and they even have a chance to win the division because of how poor the National League Central is. You take a look at the Cubs, they didn't really add anybody, as we heard Hunter Baumgart talk last week, outside of a proverbial upgrade at manager poaching Craig Counsell. You take a look at the St. Louis Cardinals. Do I think they'll be as bad as they were last year? Probably not, because they got off to a rough start and they never seemed to get the ground running. They never were able to seem to get it going, especially later on in the year. And you've got Cincinnati, who's been one of the more exciting teams in the National League. They have a lot of young talent. And you've got the Pittsburgh Pirates, who are starting off hot as well. But what makes this Brewers team exciting is their speed. They have a lot of quick guys that can steal bases when you need them to. They already have, I think it's 12 stolen bases this year, which is impressive. Bryce Turang has quite a few. Sal Frelick has a couple. Jackson Churio, who I'll get to in a sec, has a couple. So they are stealing bases, which in turn could help steal runs in the future. The thing is, with young hitters, even though they're young and exciting and they know how to steal, they got to be able to put more runs across the plate. They have scored more than four runs in a game once so far. They put up three against the Mets, four against the Mets, and three in both of their games against the Twins. They got to learn to score a little bit more. Now, granted, I think that'll come with some experience. They've also got Rhys Hoskins, who's gotten off to a good start. Christian Yelich has gotten off to a good start. So this Brewers team has been hitting the ground running to begin the first five games of the season. Now, I'm not going to put any stock into this. I will not put any stock into this start because a baseball season is 162 games. There's ebbs and flows that go through every single season. Now, if we're 60 games down the road and they're 40-20, the whole state of Wisconsin and probably the nation will be put on notice. So come to me like once we hit June and then we can talk about it. Now, the one thing to bring up again is Jackson Churio. By the way, congratulations to him. He hit his first major league home run earlier today. It was a solo shot in the fifth inning. It was the last run the Brewers scored in that particular game. And the other fun fact for you, this is a little bit of a trivia question. Jackson Chourio is currently 20 years old. He is the youngest player to hit a home run as a member of the Brewers since Gary Sheffield. Yeah, that's right.
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I'm not. Gary Sheffield, that is a very, very far name. I forgot that he played in Milwaukee, for crying out loud. Now, again, this team is very, very exciting. They are quick. They will steal bases. And they are kind of like what the Reds were when they brought up Ellie De La Cruz. Because Milwaukee last year, they brought up Sal Frelick. They also have brought up Jackson Chourio. This season, they've got a very good, they've got a very good second baseman in Bryce Turang. Again, the big question is going to be that those corner spots. Rhys Hoskins has done a good job filling in for that spot so far. That third base slot is still a question mark. And you have a reliable glove in Christian Yelich. Not a great one, but a reliable one. So the big thing with Milwaukee now that I look at is we know that the youth is going to be there. So they're going to go through ebbs and flows. You're not going to win very many games in a baseball season, only putting up 3-4 runs, unless you have a pitching staff like the Brewers have had previously. But this year, this Brewers team has essentially like a makeshift staff. They've got Freddy Peralta, who, by the way, one hitter in the season opener against the Mets. That's impressive. No Devin Williams, but they did have a rotating closer role that go through. You had Abner Uribe pick up 3 saves, which is very impressive. The starting rotation is filled with intrigue. And the reason why I say intrigue is because they are filled with young players. They've got one star in Freddy Peralta. Brandon Woodruff is scheduled to be back in 2025. And they have a lot of scrappy veterans. So when I look at this Brewers team, I don't know what to make of it because during the offseason, it was very, very confusing to me that they decided to go and sign Rhys Hoskins and then Trey Corbin Burns a week later. That didn't really make any sense to me at the time. However, if they end up performing and finish, let me go ahead and say this. If they finish 500, it's a successful season. I'll go ahead and say that. So 81 wins in a 162-game season. If they win half their games, that is a successful season for the Brewers this particular season. Not in the past where we expect them to get into the postseason and make a deep run. They haven't won a playoff series since 2018. So let's see what Milwaukee has in store and what Pat Murphy has in store with this team. Still trying to figure him out as manager, but the one thing you can take from this Brewers team is that they'll be fun to watch. Don't know how many games they'll win, but they'll be fun to watch. Brewers currently 4-1 in their first 5 games against split with the Minnesota Twins. They have tomorrow off. Then they begin a 3-game set with the Seattle Mariners at AmFam Field on Friday at 7:10. We're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia will stop by the show, and we'll talk about the end of the regular season and what the Bucks need to do to make a deep postseason run. That's coming up next on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
The way we use our homes is changing. Hilke's LP Gas is your local Carrier expert. They're here to help you improve your indoor comfort, from optimizing the performance of your heating and cooling system to ensuring your indoor air is cleaner and healthier. They're committed to delivering premium comfort and helping you breathe a little easier. Serving most of northern Wisconsin since 1958, contact Hilke's LP Gas at 453-3505. They're online at hilkes.com. They're located on South Tomahawk Avenue for your cooling comfort. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
At Harley-Davidson, they are building more than machines. It's their passion and commitment to continue the evolution of this iconic brand, to keep building their legacy and leading the industry with innovation, evolution, and drive for excellence. They need the best and brightest talent. Join Harley-Davidson's talented team of maintenance technicians. The maintenance technician positions require a journeyman's level card in industrial electrician or maintenance technician trade, or an electric mechanical associate's level degree, or a minimum of 5 years of industrial maintenance experience. Their plant in Tomahawk manufactures, paints, and ships injection molded plastic components to their final assembly plants, as well as metal parts and accessories to the dealer network. These maintenance positions are multi-skilled and requires the ability to work on various automated systems with related PLCs and HMIs, such as Allen Bradley, Rainsburg, and Siemens. Technicians will troubleshoot and maintain various robotic equipment, such as Motorman, ABB, KUKA, and FANUC. Apply online today at jobs.harley-davidson.com. Harley-Davidson Motor Company is an equal opportunity employer. For more information on this job opportunity, log on to WJJQ.com. Click on Area Information and Employment Opportunities link.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Tomahawk Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day. And currently joining me back in the booth, it seems like it's been a long time, but back on the line with me is Bucks WTMJ analyst Justin Garcia. Welcome back, Justin, and thank you for joining me.
What's going on, Alex? Yeah, it does feel like it's been a long time.
Yeah, it has been. Well, hard to believe it, but the regular season is almost over and the postseason is already here. Let's dive into now the coaching change that obviously Milwaukee's been through. They've gone from Adrian Griffin to now Doc Rivers. What makes this team under Doc Rivers different from what they were under Adrian Griffin from what you've seen?
I think the big thing is what they've cleaned up. I mean, when the change was first made, the defense was really popping off the charts for the Bucks, where they were among the league leaders in defensive rating since the change. It has since come down and moved closer to the middle of the pack, which I think is to be expected with the group that this team has. But the big thing is, you know, Doc Rivers has talked about, he's not trying to bombard the team with installing a bunch of new packages. He's basically just come in and said, okay, here are the things that I've observed from afar that don't work. So we're just going to stop doing these things. And with that, we feel like we'll get better. And I think you've seen that with how the Bucks have shifted their focus on rebounding, giving up some offensive rebounds. That's cut down on opponent rebounds around the basket and has improved the Bucks' paint presence in limiting, granted it wasn't the case against the Wizards, but limiting the points in the paint for the opponent. So it's cut down on rebounds, second chance points, points in the paint. And in transition too, with kind of foregoing the offensive rebounds, the Bucks have gotten back a lot more and been in a better spot to defend those fast break opportunities. And all of that has kind of lifted this group from the bottom 10 defensively to really close to league average or slightly better than league average.
Obviously, Damian Lillard has been out for the last few games here, Justin, with an injury, but it seems like that he has found his footing over the last few weeks. Why do you think he was struggling so much to begin the season?
You know, I think it was always going to take time. I think the unfair comp that Damian Lillard was facing with a lot of Bucks fans is Drew Holiday. And I say it's unfair because, you know, Drew Holiday, and I don't mean this to be taken as a slight, but Drew Holiday is really the ultimate plug-and-play player, that you can take him in any scheme that you're running or system and just plug him in, and he'll fit nicely alongside whoever it is and whatever it is you're looking to do because of his skill sets. Damian Lillard's much different in that his skill sets lie on the offensive end, and, you know, he was a player that was, for all intents and purposes, he was Giannis in Portland for over a decade. So it was always going to take time for that duo to kind of mesh and get away from a your turn versus my turn and just find that cohesiveness. And I think we have started to see that a lot more since Doc Rivers took over And that's another thing that has really changed and Doc pointed to even before taking the Bucks job in various media interviews that he did is that, look, Damian Lillard looks like he's trying to fit in. And that's something you can't have. You know, if you have a Damian Lillard, you have to fit in around him. You don't ask him to fit in. So I think it's just a matter of time and more reps and developing that chemistry with Giannis is really what's helped push the efficiency numbers for Damian Lillard, because that's, you know, one of the more interesting things is the eye test says he has been better in the second half of the season, but by the numbers, his back of the basketball card numbers, his counting numbers have been basically the same in terms of what he's averaging in points. He's been more efficient and he's increased his assist totals. But other than that, the numbers look identical. It just feels like it's been better. And I think it has.
Again, talking here with WTMJ Bucks radio analyst Justin Garcia here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Justin, again, there's only 70 games left in the regular season, including the Bucks' next game tonight against Memphis. What do you think Milwaukee needs to do to make a push, to make a deep playoff run and not run into the same problems they had last year against Miami?
Well, I mean, the last part is just, it's going to depend on what the draw is for the Bucks and what their path is in the postseason, and that we may not know until the final day of the regular season. I think the Bucks are still likely to be the 2 seed. Obviously the benefit of that is having home court advantage all the way until the Eastern Conference Finals, but you know, you don't know what that means in terms of who you're going to play if you're the 2 seed. So that's the one advantage of potentially finishing third, where Bucks, of course, finished when they won the championship. And look, there's just going to be no easy draw. You know, the days of the Bucks getting the Detroit Pistons in the first round and winning by an average margin of 20 points per game, those are gone. You know, you could get any of those teams around them. That's what's most fascinating about the stretch drive to the playoffs this year. So we've spent a great deal of time talking about the race for 2 versus 3. For the Bucks, but you know, they could still face any of those teams in the first round. It's not likely, but they could still get the Cavs or the Knicks in the first round. It's very likely going to be either the Pacers, the 76ers, or the Miami Heat. And I think all of those teams present their own challenges, but it just speaks to how different the Eastern Conference especially has been this season, that you could get Joel Embiid and the 76ers in the first round and have to contend with the Miami Heat even in the second round. So you're going to have to see what the path is and how you match up with those teams on that journey. But, you know, the big thing is this, they got to be healthy and they have to continue to find minutes together on the floor to develop more of that continuity and consistency that we just spoke of. Doc Rivers talked about it a little bit before the game against the Wizards, and that there is some frustration that you haven't really had this prolonged stretch of having all of those guys together, of Giannis and Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton, since Doc Rivers has arrived. You had it early in the season when you did have health and, you know, you had a much easier schedule. So I think that's the unfair thing that can get labeled on Doc Rivers, is people will point to, well, the Bucks are 15-14 since that coaching change. It's been an incredibly tough schedule, and 16 of those games were played without Chris Middleton. But now that you can see the playoffs on the horizon, you just need that stretch, hopefully, of the final 5 or so games. If you can get a stretch coming up here of 5 or so games of those 4 guys being on the floor together and starting to see more and more of this is what it's going to look like in the playoffs.
Justin, I want to go ahead and focus in on Giannis Antetokounmpo here really quickly. He's on pace to be the first player in NBA history to average 30 points a game, 10 rebounds a game on 60% shooting, which is absolutely just mind-boggling when you really think about it. Why do you think he is not getting enough MVP recognition as some of the other stars that you see, like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander or Nikola Jokic?
Well, I guess, first and foremost, both of those two players have been very, very good and equally deserving of the MVP. And that's the other big part of this is, you know, it's no longer really two realistic candidates for MVP. If Joel Embiid didn't get injured, I think Joel Embiid would have been the MVP. So you have him in there. Luka Doncic has probably passed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander as well, and he's going to get a lot of votes, especially with the Mavericks moving up in the Western Conference standing. So that is a big part is, you know, it's just not Giannis versus Nikola Jokic. There are 5 deserving players to be recognized as an MVP this season. They've all been incredible. I think the things that are going to be held against Giannis in terms of media narratives are your coach was fired, and wrongfully he is going to be labeled as, well, you picked the coach and you fired him. That's going to be one thing. The other thing is Giannis has Damian Lillard on his team. And, you know, as much as we've said, Giannis has been the constant for this Bucks team this season, for as much change as they've experienced, a coaching change, personnel, 40% of the starting lineup is new. The consistency all year long with the numbers you just referenced has been Giannis. But the other part is, you know, people are going to look at, well, you have Damian Lillard on your team. So can you really be the most valuable if that's who you also have as your running mate? I think those are the two big things. But, you know, realistically, it's a very deserving group. And I do think there's a very strong case for any of those guys. I would agree that Giannis's name has not been mentioned as much as it should be, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. Hey, why are we not mentioning Giannis? Because he is the MVP. I think he's in the conversation and should get more mention than he has been getting. But, you know, Nikola Jokic is having arguably the best season of his career. Luka Doncic has been incredible with equally eye-popping numbers when you talk about the triple-doubles and his averages as well, while averaging close to 35 points a game. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, nobody saw the Oklahoma City Thunder flirting with the number one seed, and he's had 50-plus 30-point games this season. So I think it's been a couple of unfair narratives that have placed on Giannis, but also the group that's out there has been very, very good, and that makes it challenging.
And talking here with Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Justin, one final question for you. You mentioned the potential matchups that Milwaukee could have in the first round of the playoffs, but what do you think is the best matchup for them to kick off their postseason run?
Well, I mean, I think in terms of who they match up best with, if you could make a choice, I think you would obviously see either the Orlando Magic or the Indiana Pacers. And I know the Pacers beat them 4 out of 5 times in the regular season. But that was a different Pacers team, and that was a different Bucks team. It was before Doc Rivers took over. It was a Pacers team that had Buddy Hield, who's since been traded. They had Benedict Mathurin. He's out for the season. And Tyrese Halliburton, he doesn't appear to be 100% after dealing with a hamstring injury. The Magic, too, a young team. They don't have a whole lot of postseason experience, and that includes their coach, Jamal Mosley, who will be experiencing it for the first time as a head coach. And look, they're a very, very good defensive team that will present challenges there, especially in the backcourt. Their struggle is going to be scoring. So I think those are the two where you'd said, okay, we feel like we match up best with these teams. But I keep coming back to the mindset and the attitude that the Bucks had in 2021. When they were beat by the Miami Heat in the bubble in 5 games the year prior, and they looked at that as revenge. And behind closed doors, as we learned afterwards, they had that team vote of how do you want to handle the final weekend. We can play to win. That means there's a good chance we're going to get the Miami Heat in the first round. And unanimously, they voted on, let's do that. We want the Miami Heat. We want to play them again after the bubble, and we want some revenge. I think that's the same mindset that they should be taking into the postseason this year, is that, you know, we lost in the first round to that team that's beaten us in the playoffs 3 out of 4 times. We want to face them again. We want to show we're a different team, and we want that revenge. But more importantly, we've seen year after year, and we've seen it with the Bucks, the different approaches that you can have that final week and weekend going into the playoffs. It does seem to favor the teams that treat it like postseason games and play to win, that gets you ready. I know it's different with a week-long layoff for the play-in tournament now, but it still feels like that's the mindset you want to adopt going into the postseason rather than backing in there and then taking a week-long layoff as well.
Bucks take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Tip-off is at 7 o'clock. Hard to believe that the postseason is almost here. Justin, thank you very much for fitting me into your busy schedule. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you come postseason time.
Yes, sounds good.
All right, again, Justin Garcia, Bucks studio analyst. We'll be back with more of the Sports Q after this here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboards serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you. Thank you very much once again to Justin Garcia, Buck Studio Analyst, for joining me on the program here tonight. Coming up on the second part of the show, we're going to go over our WJJQ Bracket Challenge. Who's going to be in the running to take home a steak dinner from me? Yes, me. That's correct. And then we'll also go ahead and give you some updates on postponements that took place for Hatchet Sports over the week with the snow being on the ground. And then it's NFL mock draft season, so I'm going to go over the biggest needs the Packers have coming up with the NFL draft just 3 weeks away. That is all coming up on the second half of the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Good to have you along here on this first Wednesday in April. It is 32 degrees under overcast skies. Looks like the snow has stopped for now with our wind chill at 22 degrees and winds coming out of the north at 14 with gusts of up to 21 miles an hour. It is now just about 6 o'clock. And it's time for our latest update from CBS.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Millions of people are bracing for more strong storms today with tornado watches in effect in four states in the south and northeast. Odyssey New York meteorologist Craig Allen's tracking conditions for us.
About 28 million people may be affected by this severe weather over an area of approximately 100 to 150,000 square miles across the eastern states.
Jefferson, Indiana Mayor Mike Moore says his town is recovering.
A city that went through a whole lot of chaos last night with a lot of devastation. We are considering ourselves to be extremely lucky today. No one lost their lives.
At least one person died in Kentucky. World Central Kitchen founder, celebrity chef Jose Andres is slamming Israel now for targeting his aid workers in Gaza.
Three British individuals and three international crew plus one Palestinian that they were targeted systematically, car by car.
All seven workers died while trying to get aid to starving Palestinians. Search and rescue efforts are underway in Taiwan following a massive earthquake today that's killed 9 people.
According to Taiwan's National Fire Agency, people are trapped in 2 tunnel roads along the Suha Highway, what is considered one of the most dangerous roads in Taiwan because it straddles between mountainside and the ocean.
CBS's MTS Taieb reports Taiwan's also getting aftershocks at a magnitude 4 or larger now. A judge in New York has denied former President Trump's last-ditch effort to delay his hush money trial.
The judge is keeping the April 15th trial date, ruling against Trump's request for a delay until the Supreme Court decides on his claim to presidential immunity as part of his election interference case. The judge said the motion filed last month was untimely and that the former president had plenty of time beforehand to raise the issue.
That's CBS's Wendy Gillette reporting. Attorney General Merrick Garland says violent crime is down across much of the U.S.
The FBI reports that last year, we saw a significant decrease in overall violent crime across the country compared to the previous year. including an over 13% decline in homicides.
Ticket prices are soaring for the NCAA's Final Four, but Logitix reports the average price on the resale market for a women's semifinal ticket is now twice as high as a men's ticket. For the ladies, they're $2,300 a pop. A men's ticket averages about $1,000. Don't forget to buy your Powerball tickets if you plan to play tonight. The jackpot's up to $1.09 billion, the ninth largest U.S. lottery prize ever, and the fourth biggest Powerball jackpot in history. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Everybody, great job. Next up, we have Samantha.
10 times better performance can make a big difference. Castrol Edge Motor Oil gives your engine 10 times better high temperature performance. Castrol Edge, better oil for maximum performance. Now through April 23rd, get a $15 gift card when you buy 5 or more quarts of Edge or Edge High Mileage Full Synthetic, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Claim based on Sequence 3H test versus API SP test limits.
Heard the catchphrase that's sweeping the nation?
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
People are saying Jackson Hugh, yeah, to Jackson Hewitt because they love saving money on tax prep. Do you love saving money? Then switch to Jackson Hewitt today and pay less than last year. Thousands of people have already made the switch. Why haven't you? Stop waiting and start filing. You won't get a better deal or a better catchphrase. All together now.
Jackson Hugh, yeah!
Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
If you've ever worked the graveyard shift, it could come back to haunt you. CBS's Michael George explains.
The odd hours many people worked in previous jobs could affect their health later in life. A study published in PLOS One showed workers with nighttime or early morning shifts had poorer sleep, fatigue, and emotional exhaustion. But the study found some of those health effects linger even years after a person switches to a job with a more normal schedule.
Calling all Kyles, the city of Kyle, Texas wants to beat the Guinness World Record for the largest gathering of people named Kyle. It's happening on May 18th. And it's not quite Harry Potter's invisibility cloak, but a British company claims that it's made a 6-foot-tall shield that'll make you disappear. Sorta. It's basically a giant sheet of plexiglass covered in tiny mirrors that creates the illusion of invisibility. Not the best, but for $800, it could be yours. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. and a very good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. You're tuned into the Sports Queue here on WJJQ. 32 degrees under overcast skies. We'll get into the second half of our show right after our weather forecast from Brittany Merlot.
The forecast for the Northwoods, it's a windy and cool evening out there as scattered snow showers continue to come down and only bring minor accumulations. However, with the winds whipping up to 40 miles per hour, it's blowing and drifting that snow and making it a little bit difficult to see. A wind advisory remains in effect until 10 o'clock tonight for Price and Taylor counties. Blustery winds and scattered light snow showers continue overnight as temperatures fall to the upper 20s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot for WJJQ.
The Sports Q on WJJQ, your source for sports from around the state and in the Northwoods. Here's your host, Alex Cook.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Again, hard to believe that it is already April. First weekend of April, as a matter of fact. And just because it's April doesn't mean that the madness is over yet. Yes, we still have March Madness in effect.
Can I play with madness?
Now, at the beginning of the tournament, I decided to hand out brackets for every member of the roster for everybody here at WJJQ. And the one thing I wanted to do was to just try and make fun of it. It was completely free to play, and the winner takes home a steak dinner. Some decided to participate, some didn't. That's all right, by want or couldn't, if you will. And pretty much what was really, really weird is I was the one that had the most Final Four teams correct with 2.
It's good to be king.
It definitely is. But my national championship prediction went completely out the window when Iowa State lost to Illinois.
Wah, wah, wah.
So I'm going to be out of the running for a couple of reasons. One, because my national championship prediction is completely out. And also because I don't want to treat myself to a steak dinner. I want to treat somebody else to a steak dinner. So these were how the Final Four played out. So First off, for Zach. Zach had UConn, Houston, Gonzaga, and Arizona, and he had Houston winning it all. And it seems, and again, Houston, unfortunately, that to me is the toughest pill to swallow, because Houston didn't lose because they were outplayed by Kentucky. They lost because they lost their best player, DeShawn Shedd, in that Sweet 16 game. So that is really the reason why, unfortunately, Zach would be eliminated. So unfortunately, Zach is out.
Wah, wah, wah.
But you know what? That's okay. It was really, really hard. I think that, unfortunately, injuries are a part of the game. Tim did not get a single Final Four team correct. Sorry, Tim.
You are an idiot.
Now, again, you could legitimately say that he picked Houston also to go to the Final Four. And again, that's luck of the injury. He picked Auburn to go to the Final Four. They lost in the first round to Yale.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Picked Tennessee to go to the Final Four. That was a coin flip game between them and Purdue, I thought. And I thought that Purdue had the bit of an edge just because they had the best player on the floor. And then he had North Carolina in the Final Four. And instead, it's Alabama. So that is really just unlucky. I didn't think that North Carolina would get to the Final Four. I thought they would lose in the second round. But after they got past Michigan State, I got nervous. And then Alabama decided to hang 89 on them. So that really is what it boils down to. So the two that are currently in the running as we speak, and both of these two, by the way, still have their national champion predictions intact. Greg had Illinois, Marquette, Arizona, and Purdue. Now, Illinois, that again, toss-up game at the time between them and Connecticut. Unfortunately, UConn blew them out of the water. Arizona, again, the one thing with Arizona I always say when people pick their brackets is, Arizona has always been an early exit in either the round of 32 or sooner. Every once in a while, they'll go into an Elite Eight. Every once in a while, they'll go into a Final Four. But most of the time, they'll end up losing. Ended up picking Marquette. Again, that was tough because North Carolina State is this year's Cinderella. I can understand that pick. And then he had Purdue and Illinois. Greg had Purdue and Illinois in the national championship game, and he's picking Purdue to win it all. So Greg is in the running for a steak dinner. And so is Amy. Amy is in the running. She picked UConn, Wisconsin, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Now, UConn, she picked to win it all, which seems like the favorable option. UConn trying to become the first team since the Florida Gators of 06-07 to win back-to-back national champions. Now, that Florida team, that, by the way, had Al Horford. They had Corey Brewer. They had, I believe they had Joakim Noah on that team as well. So that is a very, very interesting move. And again, North Carolina upset by Alabama. Again, Tennessee, Purdue, coin flip, and I think Wisconsin because the homerism gets everybody. And I honestly think that that is the case.
You can never guess what you get here. I mean, my God.
And that's essentially the definition of March Madness. So here's what I'm going to do. What I'm going to do is I am going to have Greg and Amy in the mix because they both still have their final, they still have their national championship picks intact. Whoever wins, if UConn or Purdue win, they will get treated. If I had to pick, and I'm not a betting man, I don't like betting. I'll say that right off the bat. I do not like betting. Never appeal to me. Never appeal to me. Would I like to go to a casino at one point? Yes, but I'm not somebody that will bet or gamble consistently. If I had to bet my money on it, I would guess that UConn, just the way that they have dominated this tournament so far this year, and really the last 2 years as well, because they blew out San Diego State, they blew out Florida Atlantic as well, they blew out Illinois, a 30-0 run in that game, which was very impressive. It's going to be between UConn and Alabama in the national semifinal game, and then the other one is going to be between Purdue and, of all teams, North Carolina State.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
And anyone that picks North Carolina State to win it all, boy, are you bold.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
And there you go. So, again, Greg and Amy will be in the running for the steak dinner that they will earn from me. It'll be either UConn or Purdue. If either of those two get it correct, then they'll win. Now, what happens if they don't get it right? See, this is the thing, because upsets are always, always, always in the mix, even in the Final Four. If neither team wins, nobody gets one. Not one thing.
Don't.
Not one dang thing.
I'm living in a cuckoo clock.
No, it's not that hard to understand. Either Greg wins if Purdue wins, Amy wins if UConn wins, or if neither of them win it, nobody gets it. Period. End of story.
A few moments later.
Does that make sense? Great. That's going to do it for the WJJQ Bracket Update here on WJJQ, currently 613. We're going to take another break. When we come back, who does Green Bay take with their first round pick in the NFL draft this upcoming year? I'll be back to tell you more about that after this here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods. You're listening to the Sports Q with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
The Tomahawk Lions Club present the 10th Annual Crazy 8 Bowling Tournament Saturday, April 6th at Strikers in downtown Tomahawk. To reserve your spot, call Strikers at 453-3245. Entry fee is just $25. You get 3 games, shoes included. There's payout for the top 3 place winners. There are 2 starting times, one at noon, one at 2:30, and there will be special drawings, 8-pin no-tap, colored head pins, and a 50-50 raffle. Call Strikers at 453-3245 and sign up for the Crazy 8 Bowling Tournament Saturday, April 6th at Strikers, with proceeds benefiting local charities and sponsored by the Tomahawk Lions Club.
John J. Schuene Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes Design Studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuene Construction of Tomahawk.
Wild Rivers Group Real Estate offers unparalleled service to all clients in the Northwoods real estate market. Your complete satisfaction with our service and representation is our number one priority. Hi, this is Matt Tyler. Whether you are considering buying a home, selling a home, Wild Rivers Group knows the area inside and out. Call me at 490-1820 or stop by our offices at 1414 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, or check us out online at wildriversgroup.com. We're ready to serve you at Wild Rivers Group Real Estate.
You already know Tomahawk Furniture and Gun offers you low prices every day. But did you know that if you find a better price, they will match it? They also have a great selection of clearance items just waiting for you to take home. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Tomahawk, or at their showroom just 4 doors down at 123 West Wisconsin Avenue, where you will find closeouts and hot buys on everything from rustic furniture to mattresses. Find the best deals in the showroom with inventory constantly changing. Grab these deals while they last. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun in downtown Tomahawk. Prices so low, you gotta bend over to see them.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Wednesday evening. Hope you're having a great day. You know, being in the Northwoods, it's not that unusual here at this point to get snow in April, but it's been very, very funky, especially with the way that this winter has planned out. It's been a mild winter, and I knew that we were probably going to get dumped on once. I didn't think that it would happen twice, but the good news is, taking a look at the extended forecast, and we'll hear from it later on, looks like it'll be free and clear for a little bit after this, because there's supposed to be a little bit of rain on Sunday and Monday, and then after that, it'll be 50s. Primarily throughout the next few days. Hopefully. Crossing our fingers here. Knock on wood. And for those of you that didn't know that, I just knocked on my brain. And the reason why I did is because there's nothing there. There you go. Let's go ahead and dive right into some Packer mock drafts here. Obviously, NFL free agency is over. So how about addressing some more of the needs that Green Bay has coming up? What do you say?
First and 10, football at the 38 of Dallas. Play action and bootleg, left half bootleg.
Got now him.
Throw back
got
the other
him.
Way. He's got him wide open. Down the right side. Musgrave, end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Luke Musgrave. And a dagger. A dagger right through the heart of the Cowboys.
That call from Wayne Larrabee still gives me chills. So, Packers addressed a couple of needs that they had in the free agency period. They went out and brought in Josh Jacobs to replace Aaron Jones. They brought back A.J. Dillon And they also addressed the safety spot by bringing in Xavier McKinney. Also firing Joe Barry, bringing in Jeff Hapley, the former Boston College head coach. So I think that the Packers, just on paper, should be better at least defensively next season. And offensively, the addition of Josh Jacobs as a bell cow back, because Aaron Jones, as much of a talent as he is, he's primarily a speed back and a guy that can catch out of the backfield. He has that talent, but he's not a bell cow back. Josh Jacobs is a guy you can give the ball to 25, 30 times a game if Jordan Love is having an off game and just let him run. That's all you need to do. So if they're able to do that, if you're able to do that with Josh Jacobs, along with the young offense that they have, this Packers offense could be incredibly explosive next season. But there's still some holes to fill, so let's dive into some draft needs that Green Bay has. Now, the NFL draft is in 3 weeks. It's taking place in Detroit this year, where the revitalized Lions host it. And I think that there are three big needs for the Packers in this draft. Three big needs that they should address. If not in the first round, then definitely in the later rounds. First one is obviously defensive back. The secondary is going through a complete makeover with Rudy Ford and Darnell Savage leaving. Jaire Alexander is really the only consistent guy at that cornerback spot because Eric Stokes, he's still a question mark. You got Carrington Valentine, who proved well in spurts during the season last year, did pretty well, especially in the second half, but we don't know if that will carry over. Just like we don't know if Jordan Love's great performance in the first season that he started will carry over. Who knows? Who knows? So with it being defensive back, there are three guys that I have, and there'll be three guys for each need that I have listed as to who Green Bay I think should take. This is just for the first pick, except for one where really the best player that is available won't be selected likely until the second round. So let's get into it. So first, defensive back. There are three guys that I have. The one guy that I have my eye on is Cooper DeJean, and I think a lot of Packer fans have their eye on him because of how talented he is. Now, the big thing with DeJean is that he's a top 25 prospect. So the odds are that he'll be drafted within the first top 25. Let's just be real about this. There is the possibility that he could fall down, though, to where Green Bay is. If he ends up falling, he is the one guy, in my opinion, that if he falls to number 25, take him. Absolutely take him. Because I think that this guy could be a very good run stopper, and him with Xavier McKinney in the new 4-3 defense could prove to be very well for him. Second option, Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. Nate Wiggins is a guy that is a very good zone corner. I think that in Joe Barry's defense, I think that Green Bay would have taken him. But he struggles in press man coverage. I think that he'll turn out fine, but I don't think that he could necessarily fit in that defense. Now, I could be wrong. His main struggle is with press man coverage. And again, that's what Green Bay's defensive backs are going to be doing more this upcoming season, according to Jeff Hapley and his mindset. Get more physical. It's unlikely, but it's possible. And the other one that I have, and this is another guy that's been floating around everyone's radar, Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. And with a name like Kool-Aid, you have to have cool and composure. That is what he has. He's never in panic mode. Nothing gets him too high. Nothing gets him too low. He's a high IQ player, and I think that he would fit well. And again, the big thing is, can he translate his speed to the NFL? He is a little bit of a slower corner, but nothing gets him too high and nothing gets him too low. If he gives up a big play, he'll go back and probably get a pick on the next one. That's what he's capable of. So that's defensive back. The second need I think they should address is offensive line. Now, I say offensive line in general because there's a bunch of guys that you could fit. David Bakhtiari, no longer there. Josh Myers is a question mark. Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom are the two consistent starters that you have with John Runyon leaving to go to the Giants. So now you've got three of five starters returning, which leaves a couple of holes to be filled in the offensive line, primarily at tackle and at guard. And again, three guys. I didn't put Amarius Mims in this because even though it's possible that he could fall, I see him more going in the top 15 than I do in the 30. But if Cooper DeJean is not there and Amarius Mims is there, definitely take him. The three guys, though, that I think are possible is J.C. Latham out of Alabama. J.C. Latham is a top 10 talent. He's a very talented prospect to put. He primarily played center and guard for Alabama during the regular season under Nick Saban. And he's got a very, very high peak. So he has the potential to be one of the better centers in the NFL if he's able to develop. But again, he's a very raw prospect. And we've seen what the Packers have been able to do with Rashawn Gary. This would be a Rashawn Gary-esque draft pick, in my opinion, in terms of raw talent if the Packers were to go that route. So that's the first one. The second offensive lineman that I'll talk about is Kingsley Suamatia. And I had to make sure I get that. Suamatia out of BYU. Now, he's talented. Consistency is an issue. He's just 21. So I think that he's the kind of guy that would need reps right away. And I think that he would be the starting left tackle if they were to put him in over Rashid Walker. Yosh Nijman is obviously gone as well. So you're going to need another tackle regardless. And the thing with Suamatia is that he's just 21. So even though he's opting for the NFL draft, he has still just turned the legal age where you can drink. And if he ends up doing, and if he ends up getting his consistency done, I think that he could be a good starting left tackle for Green Bay. And the other one is Graham Barton out of Duke. Now, Graham Barton is one of those guys where you can take him and you can plug him in any sort of position that you want. Graham Barton is out of Duke. The big thing is going to be, again, how versatile is he? Where can you put him? He might be good for a center, but he might be better at guard. He might be better off playing tackle. Who knows at this point? But offensive line should very well be a need, I think, that Green Bay should address. If not necessarily in the first round, then in the second and the third rounds as well. So we've got defensive back, offensive line, and the final need, again, I think will be addressed in the second and third rounds because there are no legitimate first round players at this particular position this year. So I'm going to go with linebacker. And the reason why I go with linebacker is because even though Quay Walker is still there, Green Bay did let go of Devondre Campbell. They're going to need another inside linebacker to help combat the 4-3 defense so that you can rotate Quay Walker in and out. And also rotate Preston Smith in and out. Going to be interesting to see where they put Lucas Van Ness as well. So there are three linebackers I think Green Bay should take, and this would be in either the second or the third rounds, in my honest opinion. The first one is the top linebacker prospect this year, Edgerrin Cooper out of Texas A&M. Now, the thing with Cooper is, if Green Bay's idea is to stop the run, which it seems like that it is with their new defensive coordinator, Cooper would be the best fit. And if he's available in the second round, I would take him as well because his strength is stopping the run. If he can stop the run, if you are a run-stopping linebacker, that could fit very well in Jeff Hafley's defense coming up this season. So, Edgerrin Cooper is one. The second one is Peyton Wilson, who is a linebacker out of North Carolina State. He is a guy that likes to fly to the ball. He is more of a ball-hawking linebacker. He will make big tackles. He will knock. He will take people down. It is very, very rare that he missed a tackle. He didn't miss a tackle when he was at North. He very rarely missed when he was at North Carolina State. The big thing with him is that he needs to put some more weight on his bones, more muscles on him. He's a lot more thin and lanky as a linebacker, but if he's able to get a little bit more strength, get a little more muscles in his arms, especially in his shoulders as well, I think that he could be a very, very good linebacker in this league. And the final one is Cedric Gray out of North Carolina. Cedric Gray is a guy, he's not going to make a lot of flashy plays. The thing with Gray is that he is a very quality linebacker. Him being a quality linebacker was a 3-year starter in North Carolina in the ACC. If you're able to be a 3-year starter in the ACC as a quality linebacker, that will go very well for you. That can go very, very well for you. So if you end up taking him, you're not going to get a star player, but you're going to get somebody that will be very, very consistent. And he's also a very physical linebacker as well. So those are my three linebackers. That is a look at my Packers mock draft needs. Let me know what you guys think. Again, defensive back, take Cooper DeJean, Nate Wiggins, or Kool-Aid McKinstry. Offensive line prospects, J.C. Latham, Kingsley Suamatia, Graham Barton, and linebackers, Edgerrin Cooper, Peyton Wilson, and Cedric Gray. Those are my draft prospects for the mock draft here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It is 6:27, and I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
With warmer weather continuing, now is the time to think about your air conditioning systems because hot weather is right around the corner. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of air conditioners and furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Lennox is proud to be an official Energy Star partner and offer Lennox home comfort systems that save you energy and money. Call Premier today. Josh will give you all the information about Dave Lennox signature collection with a furnace just right for your heating and cooling needs and be ready for a hot summer. Lennox innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County A. Call 453-4700 and online at premierheatingcooling.com and at the WJJQ Home Show April 13th and 14th at the Tomahawk School Complex.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Chance for scattered snow showers tonight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows around 29. Northerly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. A dusting of snow tonight through tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently 32.
When you're buying a home, you need more than a lender. You need an advocate in your corner. Someone who wants those keys in your hand just as much as you do. At Crossbridge Community Bank, we're a local lender that provides a personal mortgage experience built around you and your needs. You could say we're personal on purpose. Crossbridge Community Bank. Purpose first. Visit crossbridge.bank. Member FDIC.
Come in and find out why generations of families in the Northwoods have been doing business at the Auto House in Tomahawk for nearly 40 years. Gary is the longest operating auto dealer in the area. He provides selection, selection, selection. He's got about 40 quality late model used cars, trucks, and SUVs on the lot right now. The Auto House is a complete dealership where they service what they sell in their service department with an ASE certified technician. And if you need a rental vehicle, the Auto House has rental units available. And if you don't see exactly what you want on Gary's lot, just talk to him and he'll find what you're looking for, and that's what you call doing business the right way. The Auto House, North 4th Street in Tomahawk, online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you as we get ready to get into our final countdown. Take a look at upcoming Hatchet events. Tomahawk Track and Field has an indoor invite coming up tomorrow. That'll be at Northland Pines at 4:30 in the afternoon. Tomahawk Baseball has their home opener coming up Monday against Crandon at 4:30. Again, they got moved back from yesterday due to snow falling. And on Tuesday, pretty full slate for you. Tomahawk Golf will be opening up their season against Prentice and Three Lakes. Tee off will be at 4:30. We'll have Garth Gerstenberger on next week. Tomahawk Baseball Great Northern Conference opener will be at Northland Pines at 5. And Tomahawk Softball Great Northern Conference opener will be against reigning Great Northern Conference champion Medford on Tuesday at 5. Also, we did have some postponements coming up for the softball games taking place. First off, the Tomahawk softball game scheduled for April 12th against Merrill, that has been pushed to April 22nd. Tomahawk softball game scheduled for Mosinee yesterday has been moved to April 12th. Might have the broadcast of that game for you. Stay tuned for more updates. And then the final softball game that got moved was the one at Lakeland tomorrow. That has been moved to April 29th due to obviously snow falling in the area. Thank you very much for tuning in to this week's edition of the Sports Q here on WJJQ. Next week's show, we are going to have Garth Gerstenberger, Hatchet Golf Coach, on to talk about the beginning of the season. Also, we'll have Alex Stroh from ESPN Madison on. We'll have some more Packers mock draft talk here for you. And then also coming up, I'll reveal the winner of the WJJQ Bracket Challenge. And the Bucks wrap up their season in just over a week. We'll break down what their potential first-round playoff matchups will be. Thank you very much for tuning into the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. I hope you all have a sport-tacular week, and I will see you all next time. Hey-ya!
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.